This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And to all the listeners on Radio 786, Assalamu alaikum to you as well. Yes, we live. Behave, please, guys. Alhamdulillah. Welcome to Buran al-Islam Masjid. And we are doing a tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf. We've been doing this throughout the month. But before we get into the tafsir of this evening's ayat, we receive questions and we'd like to answer some of those questions. So today I received two questions. The first actually came from my wife this evening. Most of the time I have iftar here at the masjid, which is wonderful. But alhamdulillah, on weekends I get to have iftar with her. So we're having iftar together and we're listening to the rain outside. Allah, we praise and thank Allah for the rain. And she asked me something which is quite moving. She said, my father-in-law passed away about 2.5 months ago. May Allah grant him a high place in Jannah. And she says, you know, when you think about how cold it is, what must it be like in the qabr? Right? And all of us, I've got grandparents, you've got parents, grandparents that have passed away, relatives, family members, may all of them have peace and rahmah and mercy in the qabr. But we must think, what must it be like in the qabr? The one comforting thing that we have, that we know, the hadith, that for those of us who pass away, those of our relatives who have passed away and they're good and they're in iman, before they're even buried, before the janazah gets to the cemetery, they already say, bury me, bury me. They would prefer the qabr to the dunya. They wouldn't want to come back. None of our dead relatives would want to come back to this dunya. Wherever they are, in the barzakh, they're in a better place. They'd only want to come back to do more ibadah. To fast another day, to make another tahajjud salah, to be in this month. That's the only thing they want to do, is to increase the garden that they currently have. So we ask Allah to bless all those who are in the graves. As we are making dua for them, they feel it, subhanAllah. There's a hadith that says, a man will come on Qiyamah and he'll be shocked to see the rewards that he has. He says, Ya Allah, I didn't do all of this, how do I get these rewards? And it will be said, it was the deeds your kids, your offspring did on your behalf. So in Ramadan, make time as well as we make dua for the ummah, we make dua for those who have passed away, they're part of our ummah as well, ameen. Second question, from the old to the young, daddy, a concerned father asked, if I change the nappy of my kids, does it break my wudu? Obviously some najasa would touch my skin, this is the most correct opinion here, is that no, touching najasa, urine or poo will not break your wudu. However, if you were to touch the private parts, this would break your wudu. Now usually I can gauge when the person likes the answer they get. I thought you'd be happy, and it's good. He just didn't look too happy. I think he was using the excuse, I need to go travi, I can't change the nappy because I'm going to break my wudu. But I know the daddies must change their nappies as well, alhamdulillah. Getting onto this evening's tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf. If we remember, if we begin, the surah was revealed, why? Because the rabbis of Medina asked the Prophet ﷺ questions. They asked him about the ruh and two stories. The story of the people of the cave, which we spoke about, and the story of the man who traveled around the world, the Dhul-Qarnayn. We'll speak about his story inshallah in a few days. But Allah, instead of answering the two stories, He gave us four stories in Surah Al-Kahf. One extra story was the man with the two gardens. Now that story was for the mushrikeen who said, we can't follow this religion. Why? Because there are people like Bilal, they are the slaves, they are the orphans. We can't be in the same religion as them. So Allah mentioned the fitna of wealth. Then Allah adds another story about Nabi Musa that the Bani Israel didn't know about. Something about their Nabi that they did not know about. And what is the link here? The Bani Israel always took this position. We can't follow your religion. We are the people of knowledge. We are the people of the book. You don't have knowledge. So Allah will show a story where Musa a.s. is basically put into school. That where there's new knowledge that even Musa didn't have, Nabi Musa submits himself to this knowledge. That, O Ahlul Kitab, as Allah says, your knowledge is a blessing. And this is not just the Ahlul Kitab, it's for the ulama, the mashayikh, and anyone who has knowledge. Your knowledge is a blessing, but like wealth, if it makes you haughty, if it makes you arrogant, then it's like that donkey that carries heavy books. Then it's a curse. It's actually a curse against you. So Allah is saying that we submit to knowledge wherever it comes from. Like Nabi Musa. Like this great Nabi. Nabi Musa alayhi salam, the most mentioned prophet in the Quran. The man who Allah spoke to directly. He didn't receive intermediary through Jibreel. Allah spoke to him verbally, in a way that is befitting Allah's majesty. Nabi Musa, at this point in time, even though Nabi Ibrahim has a high level, Nabi Musa has the biggest ummah in his time. That he has the most complete sharia. Right, so we understand who Musa alayhi salam is, right? We know his maqam, his position. So before we get into the story, there's a hadith, there's many hadith about the story we find in Bukhari. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, tells us that once Nabi Musa gave a khutbah, a sermon, and the Bani Israel were very moved, they were crying and their hearts were shaking. Right? He gave a very powerful khutbah. And when the khutbah was done, a man from Bani Israel walks up. Right? And you can see this man is asking questions, not for the sake of taqwa. He goes to Nabi Musa and he says, Sheikh, I have an important question. Nabi Musa says, okay, what question do you have? And look at his question. He says, Ya Nabi Musa, I want to know, is there anyone smarter than you? Is there anyone that has more knowledge than you? What kind of question is this, subhanAllah? Obviously it annoys Nabi Musa. And Nabi Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, he responds and says, there's no one more knowledgeable than me. There's no one more knowledgeable than me, right? Of the people in the dunya, obviously. And from his perspective, we can understand, if we were to ask who's the most knowledgeable person, we would have said Nabi Musa as well. But this was not befitting, not a sin, but this was not befitting for a Nabi of Allah to say. So Allah sent Jibreel down immediately and says to Nabi Musa, you spoke without knowledge. Now throughout Surah Kahf, how many times have we picked up this theme? Of the reasons of fitna are when people of knowledge speak incorrectly. When people discuss things without knowledge, this is part of fitna. The Anbiya are not allowed to say anything without checking 100%. So Allah says to Nabi Musa via Jibreel, you have your position, yes, but there is somebody out there that has knowledge that you don't have. There is someone out there who has knowledge which you don't have. So Nabi Musa alayhi salam immediately asked, Ya Allah, give me permission, give me leave, so that I may find this man and I may learn from him. Now understand how big a request this is. Nabi Musa left these people only one time to go speak to Allah, to go and get the Torah on the mountain for 40 days. When he came back, what were they doing? They were worshipping an idol, right? So Nabi Musa knows, I can't leave these guys alone. I need to be there. I need to watch them all the time. The minute I'm gone, bad things happen. But now he hears that there's someone out there that has some knowledge I don't have. And he says, Ya Allah, give me permission to go and find this man. Give me leave. He makes dua. I need to learn from this man. Look at the desire to learn. And he speaks to Allah directly. This is the man that speaks to Allah directly. He says, I will leave my position as a Nabi, basically with my ummah, to go and be a student of this man. So Allah now begins the story in Surah Al-Kahf. Allah says, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ, when Musa said to his servant boy, a boy that was with him, his apprentice basically, لِفَتَاهُ. So Nabi Musa and his young apprentice, they are walking together. لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلَغُ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُكْبًا. Nabi Musa is frustrated. He says, Allah told him, when Nabi Musa asked Allah, where will I find this man that will give me knowledge? Allah says, you will find him at the meeting place of two oceans. Where two oceans meet, that's where you meet him. You'll find him. And take with you a fish. Carry this fish with you, it will be a sign. So Nabi Musa had this young boy with him. Who was this young boy? Does anybody know? Right? Right. So this young person, Yusha ibn Nun, Joshua, Prophet Joshua is with him. And Nabi Musa says to Nabi Yusha, he's not a Nabi, he's still a young lad, keep this fish, I don't want to burden you, just keep this fish, you can come with me. And he's obviously, Ya Imam, Sheikh, Nabi, can I go with you? So he said, you can come with me. So Nabi Musa and the two of them are walking, and he's now frustrated. Nabi Musa is looking, where is this place? Where is this guy I'm supposed to meet? And Nabi Musa says, I will not give up traveling until I reach the place where the two oceans meet, or I will spend years in traveling. I won't stop looking for this knowledge. Even if it takes me years, decades, my whole life, I will keep traveling until I find this person. Right. Also, we find, so subhanAllah, the commitment of the knowledge of the Anbiya. This is a man, shows you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest blessing of the Iman is knowledge. You are not going to get it for free. Even Musa alayhi salam, he needs to work to get it. He needs to travel in search of knowledge. He needs to go look for it. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He raises up those who have Iman and those who have knowledge, darajat, levels. Everyone is born, as we said so many times, you can be born with wealth and power, but you will not be born with knowledge. Knowledge requires effort. You need to search for it. You need to go look for it. It's not going to come to you. Even Nabi Musa. So then Allah says, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَجْمَعَ بَيْنِهِمَا, when the two of them passed the point that they were supposed to meet this teacher, نَسِيَ حُوتَهُمَا فَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ سَرَبًا. So they got to a point, this is the meeting point. They got to this spot and they fell asleep there. And while they were sleeping, Yusha was awake, the young boy was awake, and the fish started to move, and the fish jumped into the ocean, into the sea. And it made a tunnel, so it would appear that it parted the sea. But Nabi Musa was sleeping, and Yusha alayhi salam didn't want to wake the Nabi up. So when Nabi Musa woke up, he said, come, let's continue walking. And they continue walking. And Yusha forgot to tell Nabi Musa. فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَ So after that walk now for another long day, a day and a half walking. فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَ قَالَ لِفَتَاهُ آتِنَا غَدَاءَنَا لَقَدْ نَكِينَا مِنْ سَفْرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا Nabi Musa says, come, I'm so tired, I'm so frustrated. Give me our lunch now, let's sit and eat, because they've been walking a long time. And only then did Yusha realize that I forgot the fish. Yusha had one job, just keep this fish. When something happens, let me know. Now they've walked for like 24 hours, and he realizes, oh, I forgot to tell Nabi Musa. Right, so he says. So Yusha says, "Qala araita id awayna ila sakhra. Do you remember when we were sleeping there on the rock? Fa inni nasitul hoot. I forgot about the fish. Wa ma ansani illa shaitan wa anathkura. And only shaitan made me forget. Shaitan's fault. It's not my fault, right? Wattakhadha sabilahu fil bahri ajaba. And you know what? It actually, now come to think of it, this fish actually jumped in the ocean and it made a very strange path in the sea, right? Side note here. We need young people. This is a young boy. This Yusha bin Nun, he had one job, look at the fish, and even there he slipped up. Sometimes on committees, on organizations, we're reluctant to let young people in, because you know, we give them one task, then we find them chatting on the phone, then we find they forget our patience. But who will this young man grow up to be? What's he going to do? What's the great thing that Yusha would do? He would liberate Palestine. Right? Nabi Musa didn't get to enter Jerusalem. This young boy will grow up to be Nabi Joshua, and he will liberate Palestine. Right? So, this is the tarbiyah. We need to be patient with our young people, and they will make their mistakes. They will make their mistakes, but they will grow up following the footsteps. And here again, a very good example, our young people. This man followed the footsteps of the Nabi. Right? He walked and he carried the bags, not a very glamorous job carrying this fish, but subhanAllah, one day he would be the Nabi of Allah. So Nabi Musa says, that's what we were supposed to get, so let's go back. قَالَ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنَّا نَبْغْ That was what we were looking for all along. فَارْتَدَّ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ قَصَصًا So they retraced their steps. Step by step, they went all the way back. فَوَجَدَ عَبْدًا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا آتَيْنَهُ رَحْمَةً مِنْ عِنْدِنَا وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا And there on this place, Nabi Musa and Yusha, they find Allah says, a slave from one of my servants, آتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِنَّا that we gave him rahmah from us, وَمِنْ عِنْدِنَا وَعَلَّمْنَا مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا and we also gave him a very, very secret kind of knowledge. So Allah says, I gave him mercy, special mercy, and a very, very special knowledge. We'll end off with this ayah. Beautiful. Allah says, this man had mercy and knowledge. And the ulama say, that if you have mercy only, without knowledge, you're a good person. But if you have knowledge without mercy, it's of no use. You need to have a combination. So Allah says, this man, whoever Nabi Musa found, here, he has knowledge and mercy from Allah and a very, very special kind of knowledge. We'll talk tomorrow, inshallah, further about once Nabi Musa interacts with this great man, Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam. So let's jump quickly to our quiz for the evening. Yeah, for those of us who are on the radio waves, there's a Sunnah Yad Burhanul Islam. After every lecture, we have a quiz, and you can actually join the quiz now online. If you go to burhanul.org.za, we'll have a question, and you can answer the question. And on Sundays, we have a prize giving, so you can log on online and you can get the quiz as well, and you'll get the audios and the lecture. So tonight, so last night's question was, what chapter number is Suratul Kahf? Suratul Kahf, which chapter is it? It's chapter number 18. And tonight's question, which Nabi stopped the sun? Now, how does this link to our discussion? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a hadith that says, there was a Nabi of Bani Israel that fought to conquer Jerusalem. And he had until sunset to win the battle. And as the sun was about to set, this Nabi made dua and he says to Allah, Ya Allah, pause the sun. This Nabi said to the sun, you are a servant of Allah and I am a servant of Allah. I have a job to do, you have a job to do. So give me 1 hour, Ya Allah. Let the sun stop for 1 hour. And the sun paused and this Nabi conquered Jerusalem. So we spoke about him. Who is he? Is it Nabi Musa? Is it Nabi Yusha? Is it Nabi Khidr? Is it Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? Right, so answer the questions for those in the masjid, the cards you have online until Maghrib tomorrow evening to answer this, and then we'll do our prize giving. If you'd like to receive these lectures, you can message us on 084-222-1308, 084-222-1308, and you'll get these lectures updated regularly, or our email, buranul@gmail.com. Also tomorrow, inshallah, after Dhuhr, we have the Battle of Badr. We're going to do the Battle of Badr, the greatest battle in Islam, greatest battle of all time, the Battle of Badr. We'll be discussing it here, inshallah, after Dhuhr, Burhanul Islam Masjid. And then last, just a few notices, Fitrah, 40 Rand, Fidya, 10 Rand, and then the Mahrajan, next week Thursday, or the day before Eid, inshallah, we'll be cooking pots of food for the poor and the needy, and we invite you as a family, not just one person, but you as a family, contribute to one pot. So 3,000 rand, or a portion of that, as your family, you can cook a pot of food for poor people on the day of Eid. What a wonderful thing to do. And then we'll begin our Qiyamul Layl program, 9:30 on Monday evening. Inshallah, we have a few nice Qur'ah lined up. So 9:30, Monday evening, I'll begin our Qiyamul Layl program. Jazakallah khair. See you tomorrow, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.